As the Rogans watched, a teenager laid down a chicken and was sent over to the girl at the bottom of the stairs. She gave the teen a room marker, and he raced up the steps to be met by a haggard slut many times his age. Then a trapper wrapped in furs laid down a single rifle cartridge. The bucktooth woman bit the brass to check and make sure it wasn't painted wood, then sent him over to the girl. She gave the trapper a marker, and he trundled up the steps to knock on the first door. It was opened by two young girls who pulled him inside, then slammed the door shut.
Ready?
In stoic reply, John swung the combo rapid fire off his shoulder and flicked off the safety with a thumb. A raven-haired girl behind the bar noticed the weapons.
Hey! Put down those blasters!
With a smile, John pointed the web at her and burped the M16. All hell broke out as the four Rogan brothers cut loose. Lunging out of his chair, the bouncer worked the pump action on his scatter gun just as Edward fired. The burst of incoming rounds tore the bouncer apart, knocking the scatter gun from his grip. On the bar, an alcohol lantern shattered, spraying blue flame everywhere, and the posters on the wall caught fire. Going back to back, the Rogans kept firing, moving across the tavern and killing everybody in sight. A man flipped over a table for protection, but then stood with a hatchet in his hand ready to throw. Alan shot the fellow through the flimsy piece of furniture. Just then a door slammed open on the second floor, and a naked sec man came charging out, brandishing two hand cannons. Angling their chattering weapons upward, Edward and Robert caught the man in crossfire, just as he triggered one of his blasters. The shot smacked the wooden bucket dangling above the well, and spring water poured forth, to join the shine and flood spreading across the brick floor. A bald man behind the bar raised both of his hands.
I'm shooting! Please surrender! Just stop shooting! Take whatever you want!
Inserting a fresh clip, Alan gave the bartender a single look and noted his hands were turned backward. To hide something in his palms, Alan blew the fellow away. The man slammed backward into the broken bottles, dropping his hidden knife. On the balcony, a girl threw open a door to stare down in horror at the mounting carnage. Robert shot her twice. She staggered away, clutching the tattered fleshy ruins of her naked breasts. As the brothers continued to shoot, empty brass went flying to land on the brick floor. The madam of the tavern suddenly popped up from behind the Dutch door with a loaded crossbow. She fired, and Alan dodged, the arrow scoring a bloody furrow along his cheek. Edward shot the madam once in the belly. Losing her weapon, the woman grabbed her guts and doubled over. Then Edward shot her in the forehead. Suddenly, the bronze front door was slammed open, and there stood two armed sec men holding black powder long blasters.
Freeze! This is Newt's ground! Surrender now!
Pivoting at the waist, John grabbed the ammo clip extending under the combo rapid fire and pulled the trigger on the 40mm Gren launcher set under the M16 barrel. Even as the sec men brought up their long blasters, the M203 roared, and the feeder charge of steel flechettes tore them into bloody hamburger. At the bottom of the stairs, the girl had flipped over the batter table and took refuge behind the heavy piece of furniture. The air of the tavern was thick with blaster smoke. The horrible reek made the girl gag, and she tried not to retch. Escape was her only hope. But the front door was impossible to reach, as were the stairs. She'd have to cross open floor to reach either, and that meant instant death in this firefight. What should she do? A terrible silence unexpectedly filled the bar, as the rapid fire stopped shooting. Trying to control her breathing, the cringing girl wondered if the invaders had run out of brass. When the table was shoved aside, and there stood two of the cold hearts, grinning down at her like muties discovering a newborn. Then recognition hit.
You!
Ah, Lily.
Robert slammed the stock of his rapid fire directly into her face. The girl went reeling, the pain making her blind. Then a terrible warmth spread through her body, and the girl felt herself falling to the floor, but never hit it. Lily Rogan merely kept going, tumbling into a bottomless void. Her last conscious thought was a desperate prayer for death to escape the cold revenge of her brothers. After a quick dinner of MRE packs, Ryan and the companions divided up into teams. As bachelors, Doc and Jack took the first watch and worked out a simple sweep of the redoubt to watch for any more hunting probes or another of those jelly guardians. Meanwhile, the others hit the showers and went to bed. The following day was going to be busy, and tired minds made mistakes. A single slip in the coming fight could get them all killed. So in spite of the urgency to leave, a few hours of sleep had been deemed necessary. The big showers in the barracks had only delivered rusty water, no matter how long the companions allowed them to run. So they checked the private stalls in the officers' quarters and found two that delivered clean water. It wasn't very hot, but they were used to a lot worse. And at least it was clean. Christie had insisted that Ryan go first, and he hadn't put up too much of a struggle. Soaking for a long time in the shower, Ryan placed his throbbing hands under a stream of cold until his teeth started to chatter. Turning off the shower, he awkwardly wrapped a towel around himself and padded over to the bedroom he had chosen. The mattress wasn't in very good shape, but after laying a bedroll on top, it was comfortable enough. Following Mildred's orders, he took some aspirin and then sat at the desk to do some work. Clumsily taking loose 9mm brass from a U.S. Army ammo box, he inserted them into the empty clips for the MP5 and the Sig Sauer. Thankfully, both weapons took the same size brass. When a clip was full, Ryan would place it aside, then start on the next from the waiting stack. Eventually, he was done. Now, Ryan carefully applied fresh meds to his red hands, then slid on a pair of calfskin gloves he had found in a footlocker. As a test, he made a fist with his right hand and punched his open left palm, then did it the other way. The blow stung, but the pain was barely there. Good. That meant he could handle a blaster without any problems. A shadow appeared in the doorway, and Ryan brought up the Sig Sauer without conscious thought before realizing it was Christie. He clicked back on the safety and laid the blaster on the table.
Hey, was there still any warm water?
Hey yourself, lover.
Christie smiled, padding barefoot into the room, a towel held to her chest with a bare arm.
And yes, there was plenty of hot water.
Really? I guess the bastard pipes were just waiting for me to leave before they decided to work.
Seems likely.
Christie placed a bare foot on a chair. She removed the towel and started drying her legs, slowly working her way upward.
Dishwasher works in the galley, too.
Ryan's heart started to pound at the delicious sight. He watched her every movement.
So Doc finally got a chance to thoroughly clean the hog leg.
I remember the first time I saw him tuck the Lamai into a dishwasher and turn on the machine. I thought he'd gone insane.
But Ryan didn't reply, his eyes feasting on the statuesque beauty standing naked in the subdued light of the military lamp. There were no scars on her skin. It was smooth and perfect. Briefly, he recalled the first time he'd seen her in that burning barn. And once more, felt the exact same electric punch to his guts he had on that fateful day. Christie moved the towel across her taut belly and then dried under her full breasts.
Been a long time since we had any privacy, hasn't it, lover?
Ryan gingerly flexed his gloved hands.
Too bastard long. Almost forget what you look like this way.
Then we better refresh your memory.
She dropped the towel. Stepping away from the chair, she held out both arms in an unmistakable invitation. Kicking back his chair, Ryan strode around the table and took Christie in his arms, pulling her close. For a long moment, they simply stood there, savoring the delicious feel of skin against skin. Then Ryan took her by the chin and tilted her face to meet his. They kissed, tenderly at first. Then, with growing passion, as the physical need for each other washed away the events of the day. And soon, there was only the here and now of their intimacy.
Oh.
Christie moved her soft hands along his rock-hard body, touching every scar. So many battles, so much pain. Kissing her velvet throat, Ryan slid his gloves down to cup her buttocks, then jerked the gloves away. Christie could feel his passion ebbing and took his hands in hers to place them on her breasts.
Oh, yours. I am yours forever. Oh.
Ryan looked into her eyes, asking a silent question. She answered by leaning closer and kissing him passionately, her tongue darting into his mouth, her hands caressing his manhood until he was firm and ready. Scooping her up in his strong arms, Ryan walked her to the bed and put her down gently. He took Christie by the hips, trying to be tender as he pushed between her knees and slid into her. But her hips thrust forward, driving herself onto him, so he responded with increased urgency. Their sweaty bodies rocked back and forth, soon finding the rhythm eternal, until they were one, a single entity. Not a word was spoken. None was needed. Christy laced her fingers behind his muscular neck, her living hair reaching out to brush his face, as the two lost themselves in the wondrous pleasures of the night. Slowly, the long night passed. Secrets were shared, fantasies fulfilled. All too soon, dawn would come, and the work would begin. But for now, at this time, there was only each other and a precious few moments of joy to savor. A private celebration of life primordial from deep within the burning heart of the savage Deathlands. After everyone was washed and fed in the morning, the companions got to work. A few hours later, they were ready. Getting into a Hummer, Ryan turned the engine on and revved it a few times until it was running smoothly. Shifting into gear, he started driving along the zigzag tunnel that led to the exit. The rest of the companions walked closely behind the wag, their arms loaded with supplies. The rear of the Hummer was packed solid, and there wasn't room for a spare brass cartridge. Reaching the end of the tunnel, Ryan got out and helped JB tie a heavy rope to the rear of the wag. Doc lit the oily rag tied around the neck of a glass bottle filled with fuel and soap flakes.
I certainly hope that holds.
It'll hold.
Ryan leaned into the Hummer. As he wedged a short stick between the front seat and the gas pedal, the engine roared into overdrive, the needle on the dashboard almost going into the red. Once the engine settled down a bit, Ryan pressed down hard on the brake with a gloved hand and shifted it into gear. The wag trembled, but didn't move. Ryan tried not to let the pain from his hand show in his voice.
Everybody ready?
Let her rip.
Gratefully, Ryan let go of the brake, and the wag lurched forward, only to stop again as the thick rope attached from the rear stanchion became tight. The other end was anchored to the front of the LAV, but going around so many sharp corners, the companions had been worried the old rope might not be able to stand up to the job. Stretched as tight as a guitar string, the thick rope quivered from the jerking urges of the trapped Hummer, but showed no sign of fraying or giving way. Ryan pulled the Sig Sauer from his belt.
Hit it, lover.
Moving quickly, Christy punched in the code, pressed the lever, and the blast door started to slide aside.
Now!
Ryan and the others hurtled a barrage of Molotov cocktails at the black metal portal. The bottles crashed on the floor to form a crackling pool of flames that stretched from side to side. As the tunnel came into view, at first Ryan thought it was empty. Then something black peeled away from the ceiling to drop into the water and rise horribly, the twinkling skeleton inside the translucent creature flexing and shifting position as it began to move toward the redoubt. Then it paused, finally sensing the presence of the flames. Just then, the blast door opened completely, and the Black Guardian came closer, rising tall as if to attack the group of people standing behind the small puddle of burning fuel. But even as the portal stopped moving, Christy hurriedly punched in the code, and the door started to close once more.
Do it!
With a slash of a knife, Jack cut the rope, and the straining Hummer lurched forward. Unfortunately, the timing was off by a hair, and the blast door hit the Hummer just as it charged through the fire. The wag rebounded from the impact and slammed against the jam, the pool of flames licking upward directly beneath the armored chassis. On impulse, Ryan took a half step toward the Hummer, unable to take his eyes off its stacked fuel cans and satchel charges filling the rear cargo area. If those went off inside the tunnel, the companions would be obliterated. Then the studded tires of the Hummer dug in, and the wag shot outside. Instantly, the Guardian dropped on the Hummer, covering the windshield and reaching in through the sides with ropey pseudopods of gelatinous ooze. Then the moving blast door took it from their sight. The opening was down to a mere crack, but JB still waited until the very last tick before flipping the detonator switch in his grip. Allowing themselves to breathe again, everybody strained to hear what was happening on the other side of the portal. But there was only silence, which was hardly surprising. Built to withstand a near direct hit from a thermo nuke, there was nothing known to exist that could even scratch the material.
Think that did it?
Christy hesitantly reached out to touch the door. The black metal was cool and smooth, giving no indication of what was happening on the other side.
Fracking will hope so. But we'll have more Molotovs ready the next time we open that door.
Jack hunched his shoulders. For the briefest moment, the razor blades hidden among the feathers and other camo on his jacket twinkled in the overhead halogen lights.
Tunnel could collapse. Might be trapped worse than before.
I know explosives. The tunnel will hold, trust me.
John?
It'll hold, Millie.
Let's find out.
Ryan holstered his blaster and started back down the tunnel. Returning to the garage, he studied their chosen war wag with satisfaction.